This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard and Mark, Matt Marcus. Sorry about just Mike.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Where's the Buff Dudes at?
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Brock, I wanted to wish you a happy new year today. Shana Tova. Today is Rosh Hashanah. And because of that, it's a Jewish New Year. We say Shana Tova, essentially, I think.
Shana Tova?
Yes.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova. Right? This hour driven by Wayscar Ford. I like to say that to you today.
Thank you.
On Rosh Hashanah, one of the two of the high holy days of the Jewish calendar, the other being Yom Kippur, which will take place in 10 days. Now, I told you I was ready to go a little bit biblical on the Mariner, so let me tell you something, bro.
Old Testament or New Testament?
Well, I think you can guess based on my way I started this segment here and based on the knowledge I have of each of those two testaments. I'm going to stick with the Old Testament the amount of the Bible that I'm familiar with from my days at Hebrew school. Do you know what the next...
Well, hold on. I got to send my agent a note. How do I spell that? Happy New Year in Hebrew?
Shana,
S-H-A-N-A. S-H-A-N-A. Okay, Shana.
T-O-V-A.
T-O-V-A. Oh, good.
Shana Tova. Okay. A way of saying happy.
Okay,
just
go ahead.
A polite thing to say.
I'm going to send Gideon a little note here. Go ahead.
It's very nice. Gideon will like that, I'm sure.
Yes, he will.
And then he'll chuckle at you, as he should. Oh, look. Look what the Goyim are doing. Trying to get in on our fun. you know what the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are called?
No.
They're called the Days of Awe. The
really?
Days of Awe. Also known as the Days of Repentance. They sort of go by both names. They have a lot of names. But those are the two big names.
Awe and repentance. I like both of them. Okay.
Well, the story of the two high holidays is that on Rosh Hashanah, the Book of Life is open and begins to be written, and on Yom Kippur, it is sealed. And so you repent during those 10 days so that you are inscribed in the Book of Life next year and, you know, don't die. It's kind of an old school concept from the Old Testament. And so, you know, obviously that's been interpreted lots of different ways over time. And I don't know whether people truly believe that there is a Book of Life being written right now and sealed. But I think there is this idea that this is the time you repent for your sins against yourself, against your fellow humans.
And how many days do we have of this? 10?
10 days.
Wow.
10 days of awe.
Okay, ending, I see what you're cooking here, Salk.
Ending with
like
Yom
this.
Kippur.
Okay.
And it dawns on me.
Yes.
That there are exactly 10 days.
Speak truth.
Left in this Mariner season.
Give me a hallelujah.
That the final Mariner game is on Wednesday, the 5th of October.
Come on now.
Which, by the way, is Yom Kippur. So on Rosh Hashanah, it is written, and on Yom Kippur, it is sealed. The shofar will blow that evening, signifying the end of the high holidays, the end of the days of awe, the end of the days of repentance.
Yep.
Will the Mariners have done enough at that point, Brock, to instill that they have been written into the Book of Life?
Playoffs.
For 2023, I don't know what the Hebrew year is.
How about just a book of playoffs?
All right, we'll take it.
Okay.
What do you think?
Justin, Maura, do you want to react?
Now I'm just worried if it doesn't happen, what do we say?
Wow.
What other story? Is that the Old Testament?
The end is near. That's what it will say. The end is near, my friend.
Yes.
It felt just biblical yesterday. Like you
sure did.
You couldn't
felt
write
like all
this.
10 plagues at once.
Yeah, you couldn't write this script. Come on now. You're up 11-2 or whatever it was, 9-2. You're not going to give up a home run. You're not going to walk. You're not going to walk. You're not going to make an error. You're not going to lose a ball in the sun. You're not going to walk. You're not going to double. It was the opposite. Remember a couple years ago, I was thinking about this and I had my phone off because I was trying to do something while the Mariners were playing. And I just kept hearing this ding, ding. And because I had my phone set to every time like the Mariners scored, it was a ding, and it was the Padres game
where they came back.
Yes, where they came back
Day-ho.
From one day. One day, oh, hitting home run ice cream cakes. Yes, whatever that was.
Yeah, I don't think anybody sang it that way, but yes, yeah, go on.
Yeah, well, Deo, Justin, you got to understand, liked his ice cream sandwiches, okay? He would sneak in the clubhouse and in between innings would eat his ice cream sandwiches. But do you remember that game? That's what it was, the opposite.
San Diego, yeah.
Yeah, I think we...
It was not the opposite of that game because that game didn't mean anything. I'm sorry, that game was meaningless. It was wasn't that late in the season. The Mariners weren't as good. It was not as important as this.
That's fair.
You have the opportunity to go to the playoffs for the first time in 21 years, man. Yes. I'm sorry. No, yes. It was not like that game in reverse. It was terrible. It was a bad day. And there are some positive. Honestly, Brock, I could spend a while. If they had just won that stupid game yesterday, I had started to write out what I wanted to talk about today.
Yep.
And number one on my list was my guy.
Oh, yeah.
JK. I was ready to talk some serious Kelnick today.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Your guy?
Whose guy is he?
Are you a cheater?
Yes, of course. I can have more than one guy.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Okay,
yeah,
fine.
I can. All Justin, right. Do I get to claim Kelnick as my guy?
With the amount... And the fever, the fervor of which you have accepted Luis Castillo as your one guy. I don't know if there's
reason. But if you want to stick old
Testament. You literally wrote me last week and thought that I was cheating on Castillo with Kelnick.
Yep. I mean, if you want to go old Testament concubines and have just a bunch of them, go ahead. That's fine. Go ahead.
Dude was 6-for-16 with 4 extra base hits since coming back. Get this dude into a corner outfield spot where he belongs. And honestly, this could be pretty fun to see what he does the rest of the way. But
yeah, he picked up his end of the deal. There's no question. There's no question.
And he looks mad after every hit. Yep. He's like, yeah, what's up? That's right. What's up? Remember, who was it? Kevin Smith? Remember the Husky wide receiver who played a minute with the Seahawks? And then he caught like one pass and started pointing at his watch. Yeah. Like,
it's time.
Yeah, about time.
About time you get me.
Who are
the
you?
Ball.
Isn't that that's Kelnick after every one of these doubles? He looks back like, uh-huh. Yep. Oh, you want me to do whatever your little game is? I'm not doing that. It's about time. It's about time you recognize this.
I don't even know if I can ask this question to you as much as you fill my tank with all this biblical knowledge and stuff. Yes. But. The other thing, and I shot this to you via text, and you didn't respond. You don't want to respond. You don't even want to think about it. But the reality is a road trip like that, the final road trip of the season, an inning like that, an ending like that, I really hope it doesn't cost Scott Service Manager of the Year.
He's not going to win that anyway.
I really hope.
It cost him that because he was never going to win it.
I don't know if he was never going to win it.
He was never going to win it.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, listening to Morosi and Heyman and Passan and everybody else.
So who's going to win it?
Either Duden, Baltimore, or
even if the Orioles just peter out and are 500.
They were supposed to do this, and they play in the AL East, Brock. That's how it'll go. He won't win it. That was never going to happen. Can I ask you a final question here before we move it along?
Yes.
What are you willing to repent for in order to change things here in the last 10 days?
Whatever. Open book?
And I'm throwing it up to everybody. I'm throwing it out to everybody. Let me give out the, hold on, 866-979-3776.
Oh, boy.
Text message, Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Saul quickly went from Old Testament to Sodom and Gomorrah. All right. What are you willing to repent for? Right? What are you willing to repent for in order to make things right for the Mariners to be instilled in the book of life for what I'm told is the year 5783?
No, this is Old Testament, Maura. New Testament is
5783.
New Testament is confession. You're asking like Old Testament.
Yeah, it's not a confession.
No,
you don't go into the confessional booth or anything like that.
Either you live or
you
die. You
want to know what they're repenting
you live
for, so they're
or you die.
Confessing is just saying I did this. Repentance is actually saying you're sorry, admitting you did something wrong, and saying what you were going to do to make up for it.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
You want to know what it is that they did. That's the confessing part.
Sure.
Confessing is easy.
I'm just saying, you repentance. Want them to text you the dirt right now.
You confess every week. You only have to repent once a year because it's that challenging.
I went to Catholic school. I had to go to confession as a child. What do they expect you to confess?
Are we going to push takeaways back a little bit? Are you given a window like from 8:30 to 8:40? If you 8:35,
are
we given?
You want people on the phone for this?
I think we can text, or wow. if you really feel like maybe you know.
Well, we'll see where the text goes.
There's a
866-979-3776.
It's not starting good for us, Saul. 360. Can I repent for listening to Ranked every day?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it's a guilty pleasure, and you're more than welcome to do so. 866-979-3776. For what? Will you repent during the days of awe leading up to the end of this Mariners season, which hopefully will be awe-inspiring when it's all said and done? We'll tell you everything you need to know next.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Are you ready to repent, Brock? Is it time? Because it's been pretty easy to bash the Mariners anytime. You blow a 9-run lead in the sixth inning against the lowly Kansas City Royals to finish off a 3-7 road trip through three cities where they're not going to play playoff baseball. That's really bad, and it deserves a lot of bashing, and they deserve it. They do. They've played poorly. They've made mistakes. They haven't played like themselves. They haven't played clean baseball. They've made errors. They've made running errors. They've made fielding errors. They've made mental errors. They've had pitching issues and control issues, and they hit into more double plays than any team I've ever seen. Their ability to squander rallies with double plays is unprecedented. So yeah, it's the injuries. I don't even want to play Scott Servais. It's the injuries, no, and they're tired it. And the yep. pitching and all of that. But tough luck. Figure it out. You got 10 games left to play in 9 days. You have to find a way, and if you win 6 of them, you're in. Doesn't matter what the Orioles do. Just yep. win 6 out of 10 games. That yep. doesn't seem to be too much to ask for a team that has designs on the playoffs to win 6 of their last 10.
Yeah, details do matter. Listening to a lot of that Scott Servais sound after the game, it is the little things. You're not good enough. You're not talented enough, especially without your best player, your generational player. Who, by the way, have we heard an update on the MRI results? I've seen...
No, we
don't have an official update yet. We probably won't get it with an off day today either. I am sure those guys are hopefully out, I don't know, on Mount Si, on Puget Sound, somewhere, just, you know, cutting it loose and getting a little bit of rest and refreshing and recharging, because that final road trip of the season was quite a doozy. But you're not talented enough right now to not be on the details. Mm-hmm. As I cut through and I listened to everything of the manager, I think that's the bottom line. You can't, even with a 9-run lead, ever take your foot off the gas. You got to do the little things that they did through the first 145 games of the season, but they did very little of on this 9-game road trip.
Well, let's also welcome back Jared Kelnick, Brock. He was fantastic. 6 of 16 since returning with 3 doubles and a home run. And yes, the team did sign Luis Castillo to a 5-year, $108 million extension this weekend. Seriously, good deal for a 29-year-old pitcher with his kind of stuff. 4 years beyond what he was already signed for. So I love that.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Did you love what you saw from the Seahawks yesterday? You know, Geno Smith certainly did some nice things with the offense for the first 55 minutes, but unfortunately, the game is 60, and they weren't able to get it done on the final drive. In the meantime, the defense, disastrous. They gave up 189 yards on the ground. How many times does a team built on stopping the run do that and win the game? I'm going to bet not too often.
No, and the challenging thing, and I think we'll feel this a little bit from Pete in an hour, Mike, is you look at the things that are most important to Pete Carroll. We know his formula, the number of completions plus the number of rushing attempts, and if you get to the 50s, you've got a great shot to win in the league. Geno completed 32 passes yesterday. They still ran it 23 times for 5 yards a carry. It's 55. That's a number that wins, especially when you win the turnover battle 2-1, especially when you run 69 plays after you had been averaging 48, especially when you score on 5 possessions. Well, unfortunately, you only had 8 bites at the apple because your defense gave up big plays in the passing game, explosive plays in the run game, and Atlanta came away with a win that, boy, how different do things feel if you're 2-1? The difference between 2-1 and 1-2 going out on the road is so substantial. The Hawks can't get it done yesterday.
That is the difference in Denver, where Russell Wilson was booed again at home, but he won again. And this time, because he led the Broncos on their only touchdown drive of the game. It was late. Jimmy Garoppolo vomiting all over himself, figuratively, throughout the entirety of them. He was terrible. God, he was awful. I don't. You know what? I gotta go. Just move on. I can't keep talking about him.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
The hunt for good news, only if you are part of the Husky crowd. They were too much for Stanford, that's for sure. 300 yards from Michael Penix, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was great. 161 to Roma Dunze. Is he a pro, Roma Dunze?
Yes.
A good one? Like a top three-round pick?
Top three-round pick. He's climbing, yeah. He's climbing there.
Man, he's talented, huh? Husky's yes. Number 15. And the way their schedule shakes out, it gets pretty interesting pretty quick.
Yeah, you get it done Friday night in prime time at the Rose Bowl. A Friday night game, UCLA, 4-0 as well. They've not played some of the schedule that you have, but they are a talented team. They've been a little bit of a thorn in your side, DTR is. And the Huskies were going to have to leave home for the first time. They took care of business, man.
It's true.
I mean, they thankfully were the only bright spot in the sports scene and the sports landscape as a fan in the state of Washington this weekend. But if there was any wonder, hey, Kalen DeBoer, can you build a foundation? Can you take care of business at home? They didn't take care of business, Mike. They dominated. They dominated almost all the action, save for about a quarter in the second half against Michigan State, be it Kent State, be it Michigan State, be it Stanford, who has been a pain for them at times in their matchup. This wasn't just winning football. It was dominating football. Now they got to take that act on the road to L.A. Friday night.
Cougs outscored 29-11 in the fourth quarter. They blow a great opportunity to beat the Ducks. Cam Ward did throw for 375, but a couple of picks. Bo Nix throws for 428 for the Ducks. All right, there you go. That is everything you need to know. I do have some pretty good texts here, Brock, of things.
Do you?
That, yeah. Yeah, there's some pretty good
transparent. Pretty good
ideas. My favorite one of all is from the 425. Just what morning sports talk was missing. Religious content.
Well, it's the high holidays.
Yeah.
Good, yeah, but you're right. Good repentance has been.
What would you like to repent? Are people ready to repent?
I see quite a bit. I saved quite a bit.
Do you? I see a lot of texts. Do you want to sneak in a call or two before takeaways?
No. Let's go with some text. I'll tell you what. We'll come back. I'll
just read do it privately via text.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't want. I don't need people repenting on the phone. I don't. Right. You know.
Okay, that's fine.
We're in too many places.
I got
it's too
you.
Challenging.
I got you. Okay. Fine.
But let's repent. I'll read you some of the texts together.
Me and Maura and Justin got to find something. Maura, you're no longer a little child in Catholic school. We got to find something. There's something in our lives that I think we need to put it out there if the people are as well.
We will do it next. It is Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com. This hour driven by Wayscar Ford.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
We'll get to takeaways in a minute. I want to first get through the days of awe, Brock. I mentioned that today is Rosh Hashanah, Jewish New Year. And in 10 days will be Yom Kippur, Day of Repentance. And the days in between are known as either the days of awe or the days of repentance. And it's where you repent for your sins over the course of the last year.
Okay.
So I have some texts from people.
Shana Tova.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Do you have some sins that you would like to repent for?
I do.
I have at least three I can think of off the top of my head.
I'm going to put it out there. I'm getting soft. I'm soft. And I am just, I ask for... Why is it asking for forgiveness? This isn't confession, but I'm just telling you, I've gotten soft. And if I'm soft, our teams are going to be soft. They're not going to finish. If I go to a hotel and I can't now take a bath in a hotel bath, I'm soft. And I that never bothered me in the past. I was more than willing to take a bath in just about any spot, especially
but because it's too gross. You won't do it now.
Yeah.
I finally got under your skin.
Especially,
on that one.
I mean, one or two star, you're taking some risks there.
You think?
Three star and above, I should be willing to do it. And the Embassy Suites the other day in Norman, nice clean tub. And I'm like, nope, I'm above this.
I feel
attacked on Brock's shrugging at one star hotels here.
You should be repenting for that, Justin.
I am above an Embassy Suites bath because I have gotten soft and entitled. And I will look at myself in the mirror and say, I own it. I own it. Not tough enough. Suck it up, Buttercup. you know, finish. Go finish. And I'm not doing a good enough job.
I got to tell you, man, 4 stars or above if you're getting into a bathtub. I just think that's a really good, safe rule to listen to. I don't mind staying at the 3-star hotel, but don't get into the bathtub. That's a 4-star.
Well, there's also another solution. And Grandma Peg, sorry to air this out on you, but she, bless her heart, she would go to a store and pick up like a bathtub cleaner. Maybe I'll just do that.
Oh,
if I know that I'm staying in the Embassy Suites again, I get a rental car. So just stop at the store, pick up some tub spray, and take care of that to kind of double up on it. So I'm going to do that from here on out, certainly over the next 10 days and down in Waco in particular this weekend.
I was going to go, Brock, since I started with Judaism, I thought I would drift. Okay. And I have at least 3 deadly sins that I will repent for.
All right.
Starting with gluttony.
Gluttony.
And yes, we had a texter who said the same thing. I've been gluttonous over the course of the last year. I've gained like 30 pounds. So I plan to make amends here. Today I started the smoothie cleanse for real. I will attempt to shed some of these pounds because it's getting – I literally couldn't fit into any of my shirts.
Did you see the text we got from the 253 that said I'm willing to stop saying bad things about Salk and his juicing episodes?
Oh, thank you. That's nice. I appreciate that.
You just get breasty when you put weight on too.
I do. It's horrible, and I can't wear my shirt.
You're going to have to put $5 in the jar. Sorry.
Brock, you need to repent
anymore.
For saying breasty.
Sorry.
I would like to repent for lust. Mostly after Luis Castillo, but he's not the only one.
Yeah.
I will admit and repent for my lust.
Okay.
And I will also say, Brock, wrath, anger, has gotten the best of me on a couple of occasions. And yesterday in the car with my kids, it definitely got the best of me. So I picked my kids up. They were in Bothell, okay? Like outer Bothell. Practically Snohomish. They're like way up there, okay?
Deep.
And I needed to get to the game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I-90 was closed.
Oh.
But I said, all right, I'm going to trust the mapping apps, the applications.
Oh, boy.
And I shouldn't have because they were telling me to go down 405. And I'm like, but there's no way to get across the water. 520 is going to be a mess. But they're saying this is faster. Maybe I-5 is that bad. Okay, I'll believe technology. Well, sure enough, I get close to 520, and it changes. It's like, oh, it'll now be 90 minutes from here. I was like, what?
Oh,
man. And that's when I realized I'd also forgotten my credential, couldn't get into the game. And I may or may not have dropped some words that were inappropriate around my kids.
Yikes.
While punching the
center
console over
the cannon. Yesterday is totally your fault.
So I will admit to some wrath. I also don't know who possibly okayed the bridge work on a weekend where both the Seahawks and the Huskies were at home.
Yep.
But that's a side note.
Yep.
That person should be fired.
Thank you.
I'm going to repent for this, the sin of being arrogant here with my fandom, perhaps. Oh. Arrogant to think that making friends with people from other cities and fans of opposing teams, like the guy I met from Atlanta named Cheese on Saturday night, whom I have his number and said, I hope you have a good time and good luck at the game.
Wait,
yeah, that's
my
fault.
Isn't that Jeremy Piven's name in Old School?
Yeah.
Cheese. Yeah, it is.
Thought we locked you in a dumpster.
Yeah, I got out. Glad you did.
So I hear you saying you're too friendly. Is that what you're doing here? Is this a humble brag?
Humble brag.
No.
Humble brag.
Oh. I said arrogant. It was
arrogant
to me.
No. It wasn't arrogant.
Came across super humble brag. Super. Look at me. I make
a surprise.
Look at this guy with his 3-star hotels. Take a bath. But I'm
surprising that the guy from Montana is not great at doing the Jewish style of repentance. All right, Maura, what are you going to repent for?
I'll repent for, because I feel like maybe I jinxed it, that I've been rooting against Russell and the Broncos, but also I have Jerry Jeudy on one fantasy team and Cortland Sutton and Javonte Williams on another, and I've been rooting for them. And
fantasy's
so I kind of feel like I helped him win last night.
Yeah. We did get a text that was about this, too, from the 253.
I was trying to have my cake and eat it, too.
I will no longer secretly wish for Russell Wilson to fail miserably. Just fail moderately.
A couple of people said they'd like to repent for rooting for the 49ers. Yes, I understand. It was dirty last night, wasn't it?
Yep.
That didn't feel good at all. A lot of folks saying, Brock, being soft is not something to repent for. All you're doing is showing how great you are because you can go to a nice hotel.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to express it in that terms. I apologize. But yeah, the old Brock would have done that. He would have taken a bath at the Embassy Suites and not thought about it twice. So getting a little entitled.
Like that's a sin. I don't know whether you're really getting the
getting
repenting.
A little entitled in my old age. Yep.
All right, maybe it's that. Let's do some takeaways.
Takeaways.
You can start.
I don't want to. You start.
Old-fashioned stare down on takeaways.
It's going to be like Robbie Ray and the other dude for the Royals after the anthem.
Oh, okay, I'll start. You know, I said there's five or six plays in one score NFL games that you can circle and look back on. Go ahead, give me cut eight. Yeah, give me cut number eight here, Maura. This one was a zinger.
Looking at a third and 19. Mariota sets, has time, throws, got a man, catch is made. It's Zacchaeus who makes the catch, and once again, a young cornerback playing a little too far off. That was a long first down to make, and the Falcons made it and then some.
You only have eight possessions offensively. Atlanta had nine as they ran the clock out at the end. Every one of those possessions mattered. Mike, when you get to third and 19 in the NFL, you get to third and 19 at Sparks Stadium Friday night, you get third and 19, you get your butt off the field. There are ample defenses. You rush three, you drop eight, you make them check it down, you swarm, you tackle, you get off the field. Did you hear the stadium at the start of that clip? They were full throat. They were engaged on one of the most glorious late September Sunday afternoons weather-wise you're going to find in that building. They were ready to go, and you just play that thing horribly. Play zone coverage. They run a pretty – I mean, they added a little wrinkle. It wasn't just a smash corner. They kind of stack release, and then you get a little 8-yard stop route in the corner behind it. And I don't know, is it Woolen? Is it Kobe Bryant? Is it Jones over the top? Heck, it's all three of them. Because when someone is that open on third and 19, it's untenable. The head coach cut number three. You can hear the exasperation as he talked about some of the plays and that one in particular.
Well, they made a couple plays. You know, Pitts made the play on the sidelines and Josh is all over him. You know, he took the ball off the top and that was a nice one. You know, Mariota made a couple good balls, you know, throws for them. The big one was the third down and 19 that we gave it to him. You know, that was a gimme. And so there's a couple things in there that we can clean up. And then we sometimes, you know, they're going to make a play on you.
Yeah. I mean, is Drake London going to make a play on you? Yes, he is. He's immensely talented. Is Pitts going to make a play or three or four on you? Yeah. Yeah, he's top five pick. I mean, he's a superhuman athlete. He's Megatron. You know, he's 6'6 and whatever, 240 and runs 4'4. I mean, he's just... You give them that. When they go up on contested plays and one-on-one situations, guess what? They're going to make some plays. Your corner's made a few, too. But you tip your hat. Third and 19? Third and 19? Third and 19? A nine-run blown inning? About the same. Third and 19 and nine-run blown innings. Shouldn't happen. Should not happen.
Takeaways.
What's going on with their safeties, Brock? It's obviously been an issue. Quandre didn't look like the same player. Josh Jones has been bad. I mean, like, he's really looked troubling. He had a terrible play yesterday on the touchdown from Drake London. Just not enough playmaking out of that group, and that's been a problem for a while now. And, yeah, I'm sort of calling for Ryan Neal because I think he adds some of that. Is he perfect? No. Is he a savior? No. Is he the return of Earl Thomas or Cam Chancellor? No, no, and no. But he does add some physicality. He's done that every time. He does add some personality and attitude and everything else that he's brought whenever he's shown up and had some success with his defense. So, look, it's not going to be at the expense of Quandre because that's the guy you just paid and that's your captain, your leader. Mm-hmm. But if it has to come at the expense of a guy who has essentially been a journeyman safety, well, I think that's probably one of the opportunities you have. I know they really like what Jones has done, and he looked great in camp. But he has not looked great through the first three games of the season. And I think Ryan Neal, if healthy, is by far the better choice.
Yeah, if you have a case of the want-tos, a really bad case of the want-tos, which I think Jones expressed all preseason, Mike, and through the preseason games. And, I mean, he wants to, and he's a pro, and he's been around the block. but I just don't think there's a have to acceleration. I just don't think that gear is there. And that's the reason he's been a journeyman in a bunch of spots. Imagine, and he brought up the name, imagine Earl Thomas in his prime. Right when KJ on Wednesday was talking to us about how he and Cam would come downhill. Imagine Earl in his prime playing center field, as you saw a replay of it yesterday on Cordero Patterson's touchdown run. And Josh Jones is in center field. And after, I don't know, you've watched Cordero get to the edge and make plays. And he's got to play deep third if it's play action, so I'm not just killing him. But once there's that moment of truth and the ball's in his hands, do you remember when Earl would come down and just be crazy, man? Mm-hmm. And saw dudes in half and run his face through the rib cage or the thigh of people and not stop? That didn't happen yesterday, and that's not happening. And you don't have a prime Earl Thomas on your roster. That's not going to happen. But yes, be it angles, be it tackling Drake London, you bring a blitz,
Brock,
and
you
Josh Jones.
Had that in ages. I got to tell you, I've been sitting here complaining about the safety position for 6 years, or whatever it's been, 5 years. I mean, it was Tedrick Thompson, it was the guy from Michigan who couldn't play.
Delano Hill.
Sure, it's been Marquise Blair. It was, remember that guy that used? Oh God, was he awful? This was during the Legion of Boom years. When somebody got hurt, they brought in that guy. Yeah, couldn't play at all.
Yeah.
I mean, like, are Earl and Cam the only guys who can play safety around here?
Hey, you traded for Jamal. You gave up two first-rounders.
Yeah, and he didn't do jack.
Nope.
And Quandre has had one good year, like one and a half good years.
Yep.
Like, what? That position is so undervalued and is so important in the Seahawks. When you watch San Francisco and watch that Tafanga dude,
yes.
Why don't you have a guy like him? Yeah. That guy makes plays everywhere. Drives me crazy.
Next.
Take away.
I want to sit here saying, please put in Brian Neal. God.
Hey. Not today. Okay? You don't bring up his name on Shana Tova. Okay?
Okay.
I'm gonna squeeze a positive one in here. All right? Because it could just all be a big Cal Raleigh. But it's not going to be. I'm going to sneak a positive one in. I love their plan yesterday. Your fellow BBNN alum, Shane Waldron, did a terrific job. Pete didn't call him out, but Pete demanded more of him last week when he sat with us. Right? We got to take some shots. We got to do some things. We got to get the tight ends involved. I love their three tight end package. In fact, their numbers, I bet when Pete looks at it, and I'll ask him in an hour, I bet their numbers efficiency-wise and three tight ends were awesome. Beating the run game, the play-action game, the shot play to Parkinson on third and short, fourth down. Like, they did some terrific stuff out of three down. I like their mix of tempo. I love Geno coming to the line in total command of the plan, Mike, calling out, barking out protections, barking out alerts, calling where the blitz is coming. I mean, he was all over it. That was a terrific plan from Shane Waldron. And usually when you run 69 plays, go 9 of 17 on third down, win the turnover battle, score on 5 of 8 possessions in the league at home, you win. You win. But in this case, unfortunately, they did not.
Takeaways.
I appreciate 300-plus yards in the air. I know Pete said they needed to cut it loose a little bit, but 16 carries for Rashad Penny doesn't quite seem to be enough.
Rashad or Rashard?
Huh?
Rashad or Rashard?
I'm not going there. He looked pretty good, right?
Okay. Opened the game up looking great.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes.
And I think you can see how Ken Walker could create a 1-2 punch and kind of more down the road. Isn't that weird, though, how all young running backs seem to want to cut it all the way back?
Because it's all they've done their whole life.
They've always been the most talented, so when nothing there, they can just run all the way across the field. And maybe he's shifty enough to make it happen. I mean, he picked up some extra yards doing it yesterday. But, I mean, they got two really skilled, talented guys there, and it doesn't feel like I got it in the first couple games. They didn't run enough plays, but they ran, as you said, 69 plays yesterday.
Yes.
It's weird, but kind of felt like they needed to run the ball more.
And DJ Dallas was terrific as well. I mean, that running back room is going to be a strength of this team. It looked like Homer got hurt, one of the only guys that got hurt yesterday. But, yeah, there's no bashing Rashad Penny here. I mean, he got what was there. The screen was awesome. That was another great call. Been calling for more screens, more tempo, more personnel packages. They mixed in a bunch of it. And, yeah, the offense goodness. Offense did their part.
Takeaways.
I couldn't finish. Okay. A guard. I want a guard. Roger and Tacoma, if you're listening, I know. I know you want a guard. You just want a guard. Can a guard lose you a game in the NFL? Can an offensive guard truly lose you a game in the NFL? And I hate to put it all on Damian Lewis, and he seems to be a great guy and a hard worker, and he's still continuing to play, and he's battled injuries again. He's battled injuries most of the 3 years of his career. But he was late on one of eight possessions. Well, two of eight. One quarter of the possessions. Two holding calls. Totally demoralized and derailed those drives. And the first one, he was late off the ball. Grady Jarrett beats him. Grady Jarrett's an awesome player. Awesome player. And if you're not on every detail and you don't get off on the ball, he's gonna get penetration. He grabs. He holds. That's a punt. And then the holding call at the end of the game on just a brilliant call, beautifully executed. Geno, it's a throwback screen. He buys time. He throws it over the top. And you're out there in space, big man. Just don't grab. You just cannot put your hands outside the frame. You can't. Can't do it. Tough day for Damian Lewis.
Yeah,
tough, tell
it's
the
so
truth
funny. What has happened to him? Because it was a couple of years ago. He's a rookie. He had a fantastic rookie season. We really expected big things. Was it the move from right to left guard? Because he has just not evolved the way he was supposed to.
I think it's a lot of injury. I think it was expectations were awfully, awfully low. If you remember those offensive lines 3-4 years ago and what he was coming into. But yeah, he solidified it. He was a pro. He came in as a pro. And unfortunately, there's just not been a lot of growth from his rookie year.
Takeaways.
Are you going to have to help me here, Brock? Because this has just been a consistent aggravation for me for now 10 years. You get down into the red zone. You fail on third down. It's 4th and 2.
Yeah.
Either kick the field goal or go for it. I'm fine with both eventualities.
Yep.
If you go for it and it works and you score a touchdown there, that's a very different game late. If you kick the field goal, fine. All right. That's a perfectly valid decision on 4th and nearly 2.5. And I know Pete said after the game that there were some screw-ups on the field and the guys weren't, you know, quite right, not where they were supposed to. Fine. But then don't call timeout.
That's right.
At that point, it's wasted. Just kick the field goal.
Take a delay game.
Take a delay of game.
Just take a delay of game.
Move yourself back 5 yep. yards. It's still like a 38-yard field goal or whatever. And yep. take the field goal. Yep. But the idea of blowing a timeout in order to take a field goal?
Correct.
Does not make any sense. Quite frankly, by the time you've called a timeout, you should have at that point committed to going for it. Like, I can understand we got to call timeout to get the play right and we're going to go for it. Fine. But if you're going to call timeout, you have to go for it. You have to. It's such a bad look, and it is such a waste of one of these resources that you have, and it might have mattered.
And they've been
late.
So good through 3 games with those. They've conserved those timeouts.
I
You've
know
not
they
seen
have.
Game management
I know,
issues,
but they
right?
could have used it. It was a close game. Yep. It was obviously going to come down to the last couple of minutes, yep. and it would have given you the opportunity rather than throwing the pick there.
Yep.
You'd have had 3 timeouts.
Yeah, I think that's a fair question, and I would hope in 40 minutes or so, Pete would say, yeah. I mean, in retrospect, yeah, just take the delay game. Five yards on a chip shot in that moment is not going to affect Jason Myers. Even if he mishits it, at that distance, it's still going to find its way through the uprights. And that's one of those moments that Tater or someone up in the booth should just say, hey, if you're in indecisiveness or there's people on the field or it's muddied, just take the delay game. Just take the delay game. And then we will give ourselves time, a little further time, to make that decision. Ultimately, I think it was the right thing to kick it. I do.
I'm totally yes. fine with the decision to kick.
Yep.
But not blowing a timeout in order to do it.
Okay. Last one.
Takeaways.
This team's just not going to have margin. So all of these things are going to be highlighted over the course of the season, right? A blown backside contain, a just blown frontside contain defensively, a blown coverage. And you know what? With inexperienced guys or guys that may not be here down the road, I could give a little more grace to. But Tyler and DK have almost zero margin. And DK Lockett was featured, or DK Lockett, there you go. DK Metcalf was featured a bunch. It was a point of emphasis to make sure, right? We heard Pete say it to you and I last week, Mike, got to push the ball down the field. Got to get DK involved. you know, we got to mix some things up. Got to get our tight ends. Shane Waldron, check, check, check. He did everything that the coach wanted. Now, defensively, stopping the run and run scheme, that did not happen. And I'm going to guess that we'll hear more of that on the Pete Carroll show today. But, DK, you got to catch the ball. Like you can't have two balls that touch your hands and fall incomplete, especially the post over the middle. You're a big-bodied guy. Is this middle safety there? Want to knock your block off? Yes. Did it hit your hands? Yes. Got to catch the ball. In the red zone, you run a little slant route. Was the DB a little bit early on you? Yeah. But you know what you got to do in a contested situation when you're 230 pounds? You got to catch the ball. And then you get two fade shots, one-on-one, down in that red zone, Mike, one-on-one. And you get pushed to the boundary on the first one, nowhere to go. And on the second one, you get hemmed up as well. I mean, those are four shots, DK, that you can't point the finger at anybody else other than to say, I have got to be Pitts. I have got to be Drake London. I have got to be in a contested situation. It is my ball. Not just my ball, nobody's ball. That's fine when you're an elite defense. It is my ball, and I'm coming down with this to benefit Geno and benefit this offense because I got paid to be that kind of elite, that kind of special. And is that fair? No. No, it's not. But that's unfortunately the margin you're playing with. And for Tyler, there's two or three plays you got to come in and block. If I've watched Cooper Kupp do it, and I know he's bigger and he's stronger and everything else, but if you're going to run jet sweeps and you're going to run screens and you're going to run some of the run game, you got to come down and just block people. And there was two or three occasions where that didn't happen. And those are plays that, unfortunately, with your defense and inexperience and new pieces, you just have very little margin for your superstars not being superstars.
I'll give you one more real quick.
Takeaways.
Last one for me, but it's a positive one. Let's end on a high note, Brock.
Good. Yeah.
It's nice to see Tariq Woolen get his first pick, even if it wasn't in a crucial spot in the game.
Agreed.
I watched him out there. That dude's working hard. He hustles. Yeah. He uses his speed. He uses his body. And as I watch this team, his growth, I think, is becoming one of the best keys to this season and one of the brightest spots so far.
Yeah, if you compare and contrast Richard Sherman's first three starts as a rookie, right, when he got thrown into the mix, mm-hmm. Trufant, I think, was hurt. It will be very compelling theater over the course of this season if someone wants to chart it out there and document Richard Sherman. And it's hard to quantify sometimes as a corner. It's very difficult to do unless you get to the nitty-gritty. But we all saw it with Richard. We all looked at it and just the eye test went, yep, this dude's going to be good. And right now, through three games, the eye test says, yep, this dude Woolen, he's going to be good.
Yeah.
Going to be good. Nothing's been too big for him. He comes back. He doesn't repeat mistakes. And as you said, man, quite a physical presence too.
All right, there you go. That's a full slate of takeaways or something close to it. I was at the game yesterday. More corgi races, please. Halftime was great with the corgi races. And then my kids, big day. First Seahawks game for them, Brock.
Yes.
And I had a chance to meet both Boom after KJ did not know who Boom was.
Right.
My kids met Boom, which was pretty excited. And then Tama, the hawk. Yeah. Avery, a little afraid of birds, kind of like Kyle, had to be coaxed near the bird, but Cecily charged right over. Like, oh, there's a bird. Let's go.
I mean, was I reading too much into the picture that you sent? Tama did not look happy about that inning by the Mariners either.
No. Tama was disappointed.
Tama was still steaming mad. She had a very mean look.
Now, I don't know that I could blame any hawk or any person or anybody for being upset about that, but I will attempt to start to go a little bit positive, okay? Because there were two or three, maybe four things this weekend that are worth talking about, that are worth pointing out, and are hopefully going to make a major impact over the course of the next week, two, and beyond. It's next. It is Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.